let's open this discussion. I'll also open it to the panel to ask the panel each other questions. So is there anyone out there who wants to wave a question and launch it here at the panel? Because I know that they're wanting to ask each other questions. No? All right. Panel? Jeff?
I had a question for Frank. I get a bit nervous when it's a selling point that science and engineering labour in Australia is cheap. But cheap as we are, we probably get paid marginally more than in Russia, where sometimes I don't get paid at all. So exactly how is it that transporting a perfectly efficient space launch operation run by Russian engineers who earn very little, and putting that in Australia and building new pads and making your investment, how is that going to end up being more efficient for the consumer?
What you find is that in Russia, very well-educated, very proud and very achieved people have come to economic strife. And what we're doing is helping them regain that pride and regain their space program. And in return for our hospitality, we're learning from them how they ran their program so well. And I believe that you can't compare it in dollars only. It's in humanity helping humanity, and everybody prospers.
That's your in-kind sponsorship, isn't it? That's why you asked him. Okay, we have a question up at the back there. Yes, sir.
Thank you. I'd just like to ask Chris if you could expand slightly on what you were saying about the astronomy from space as opposed to astronomy from Antarctica.
Oh, good question. Yeah, I'd wondered about that too. You made those comments about astronomy from space, you know, like it's not really worthwhile.
I think astronomy from space is very worthwhile. It's just that I wonder, with a country with an economy the size of Australia, whether we really have the money to be spending on the infrastructure that you require to build up in order to do that science, whether you get enough bang for your buck, basically. There's also the political point that I think in terms of selling projects to the public and to government, selling astronomy in Antarctica is probably somewhat easier than selling a project as a fraction of a telescope being built in another country, mostly from another country's materials, with perhaps some small amount of input from us.
So you're really suggesting, look, let's look at our own niche. Let's not try and compete against the big boys. And make use of that. And that's wide use of funds and resources.
I'm not sure if I quite answered your question. One of the reasons why Antarctic astronomy is very interesting is because high up on the Antarctic plateau, it's so cold and so dry, it's by far the driest desert on Earth, a lot of the water vapour, which blocks a lot of the far infrared radiation that we can't see here, is actually not present, and so you can see that far infrared radiation. You can do a lot of the science you would otherwise have to do by going to orbit just to that very high and very dry location.
Okay, thank you. All right, any other questions? Yes, there's one right at the back again. It's Andrew, I think. Yeah, hi Andrew, yep, another question from you.
Yes, or two questions. One to the NASA representative, please. Could you outline the cooperative activities going on between the United States and Australia and anything towards the future that you're working on at the moment?
Cooperative activities between the United States and Australia, is there anything going on? And futuristically as well, I think that's what Andrew was asking. So is there anything that...
I don't know. Martin, you may know. I don't know of specific program activities that are going on between the U.S. and Australia, but I know that there are a number of cooperative activities involving individual scientists and different universities. I can't tell you the exact figures or dollar value or areas of research, but I know that there's a lot of that that goes on. In terms of the future, a lot of things in exploration tend to have some element of self-fulfilling prophecy, and I think if a nation decides to invest in aggressively in space exploration, there'll be a lot of bounty that comes back, and certainly there's great opportunity today for international cooperation in all sorts of space activities, whether it's robotic spacecraft or human exploration. There's a lot of opportunity because I think the world community is closer today. The world economy is highly interactive. There's more reason today for nations to join together to do big things in space, and we can gain big challenges. The big challenges that can attract our children into science and engineering by banding together and doing things that are exciting together. I might, as a tail end on that, just comment to Chris's question. I would like to comment about the most exciting things happen in your PhD research or shortly afterwards. I guess in my own experience of 35 years of research, I think it's still getting better. Certainly the thing that has been most exciting to me in my career in terms of scientific accomplishment happened about 25 years after my PhD, so take heart. Maybe you can get past some of your management responsibilities and enjoy the research too.
I don't think the fun goes away, but you get less and less time to spend on it.
That's up to you.
Oh, that's a really good comment. I must admit, I related to that when you said that more admin, less actually hands-on. But no, I appreciate your comment because in some ways, it's not just time, but quality time, but the right thought processes that really make those revelations. So it's a complicated thing. Jeff, you want to make a final comment?
Yeah, I could chip in a bit in answer to Andrew's question. One of the three main NASA deep space and communication complexes in the world is based just out of Canberra at Tidbinbilla. The contract for that is managed by CSIRO, and we have a long-term, for whom I work, by the way. So we have a long-term and outstanding, I think, relationship with NASA. Elsewhere, the Earth Observing System, the first element of which has just been launched. I think there are a number of Australian scientists from universities and CSIRO who are principal investigators or co-investigators with NASA on that decade-long mission for Earth observing. And more colloquially, I guess, or parochially, on FEDSAT, we're currently arranging with NASA for collaboration on that mission. In fact, they'll be providing to us the GPS receiver, and we'll be supplying them with navigation data from that payload. So there's just a few areas, but there's, I know, many other examples.
Okay, thanks, Jeff. Okay, I think time has beat us, so we do have to close because we're over time. So I want to thank our international guests and our local guests for sharing this time and space to talk about Australia's place in space and the global perspective. And thank you to the audience who've turned up here at Science Now and to one of the science forums and decided to indulge in a bit of time and space about space. So thank you for coming as well. Thank you.